May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Here we are, December 31st, and I'm trying to look over to the clock. We're putting my math skills to the test here, but it looks like we have about 12 hours and 22 minutes to go. Some of you may be a little bit like me, not overly enthusiastic about New Year's, but whether or not we get on board, the sense of something new is naturally in the air as our calendar turns. This season, I've been thinking a lot about what this community means to me, of what it has meant to me, about how belonging to a community like this makes all the difference when it comes to the joys and sorrows that we each ride through in any given year. Some anticipated and some not. So as we share our usual New Year's greetings, perhaps we may find ourselves even more aware of our gift in being able to say we enter this new year together. And perhaps we might also ask together, are our eyes open? Are we expectant of what God just might want to do in us and in the church? Now, just out of curiosity, may I ask for a quick show of hands, how many of us participate in the ritual of New Year's resolutions? It's not a very big number. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to ask how many of us are successful at keeping them. Some of you know that I work as a chaplain at a long-term care home, and in recent weeks, thinking about the story of Anna and Simeon, and thinking about the start of a new year, I was curious to know what some of the most experienced amongst us might have to contribute. So I asked three people at my work, each in their very late 90s and even early 100s, what they thought of making resolutions. I learned quickly that I seemed to have amused them, noting a rather sweet sarcasm in their initial responses, such as, "Why, yes, of course, dear, this is the year I resolved to complete my first marathon." Another woman stating in a half-joking way that one of the blessings of being over 100 is not having any responsibilities anymore. And so why on earth would I want to take on a responsibility like doing something new? But this same woman went on to say that this something new has actually been the secret to her life. She said, "The older I get, the more I find people fascinating. The more I find life fascinating. I'm always on the lookout. My eyes are always open," she said. No matter how much of life she has seen, she remains ever expectant of something just around the corner, something to teach us, to move us. And let me tell you, this woman radiates with life. Are our eyes open? Are we an expectant people? Luke's narrative of the story of Simeon and Anna and the baby Jesus presented at the temple, it's captivating. The prophet Anna in her very elderly years and righteous Simeon presumably in his older years as well. Two aged, devout people, so in tune with the Spirit that they see immediately and with certainty, the extraordinary new thing that has come. They look to a baby and they truly see. Simeon prophesies in joy the words that have become one of the most beloved canticles in the church, and Anna immediately begins to witness. one look at the baby boy Jesus and they see without a doubt who he really is, that the Messiah has come. One look at the baby boy Jesus and they see the salvation of God before their very eyes. One look at the baby boy Jesus and they know that everything they had been waiting for, that God's people had been waiting for, that the world has been waiting for, has come. One of my Christmas cards this year read, "What extraordinary mystery abiding amidst the ordinary." A beautiful description of the incarnation. And it gives insight, too, into what is happening in our gospel. As new parents of a baby boy, Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph, two devout Jews, are fulfilling the rituals of what the law requires of them. Their purification likely refers to the time when, 40 days after the birth of a son, it is time for Mary, her ritual of purification as a new mother. And Luke couples this with Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus at the temple to be dedicated to God. It is an expected, customary act, and in the ordinariness of this moment, Simeon, being led by the Spirit to the temple, takes the baby in his arms, seeing in him the most extraordinary gift of love we could ever know. I've been trying to form an image of Simeon that can somehow capture this moment. Simeon with hands that have been aged by a lifetime, taking gentle hold of this baby, and so profoundly moved, crying out, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Denise Levertov has written a poem about this moment. With certitude, Simeon opened ancient arms to infant light. Decades before the cross, the tomb, and the new life, he knew new life. What depth of faith he drew on, turning illumined towards deep night. Simeon had long waited for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. But no matter how long his waiting, he remained trusting in God's promise to him that he would not see death until the one arrived. Anna, too, never gave up hope for the redemption that God has promised. They were patient examples amongst God's people who were waiting year after year after year after year with a deep yearning to be liberated, to taste freedom from oppression, a yearning to finally be set free. Perhaps we know something of this in our lives too. Perhaps in several aspects of our lives or in our relationships, in the ways we feel lost or stuck or sad or tired or strained or confused or bored or broken. Perhaps we know this same kind of searching and longing. And maybe we became even more aware of the hard reality of some parts of our lives as we traveled through the weeks of Advent, our season of waiting for the child. But are we waiting with expectant hearts or simply waiting? There is something about reading the story of Simeon and Anna, something about the words of the wise souls I have spoken with, that I wonder whether at this time of year, perhaps in addition to our resolutions, although it doesn't seem that many of us do that, maybe God is calling us to examine our vision, to ask ourselves how well are we spiritually seeing, to consider whether we're letting God open our eyes to see what God might want us to see. Simeon and Anna see a new thing at work, and Simeon sees too that it won't be an easy way, as it means the truth of what is really inside people's hearts will be revealed, and that Mary will know sorrow as well as joy. Seeing is not always easy, but it does reveal the truth that God always, always deeply desires to help us, to show us the way, to make sure we know we are loved. I wonder if sometimes when the days start to feel a little long, or things feel a little more difficult, when the news stories seem even drearier than the day before, I wonder if in the middle of it all, we find ourselves lowering our expectations, somehow hoping for a little less, looking for a little less from God. I wonder if sometimes our eyes become tired, our hearts a little less expectant. And so maybe, just maybe, this 2018, we are being called to renew our faith in the God who can and wills to do transformative, breathtaking things, who can turn us right around, who can bring life to places that we thought were beyond help. May we ask ourselves, are we expecting this of God or something less? Now, I promised Anne earlier that there's a gorilla somewhere here in my sermon, so here we go. In an article called We See What We Want to See in Psychology Today, Joseph Hallinan writes, "Decades of research have proven that expectation is a powerful force. It acts on our perceptions much as gravity acts on light, bending them in ways that are measurable by others, but to us, imperceptible. Not only do we tend to see what we expect to see, we also tend to experience what we expect to experience." The article goes on to say that the tendency to let expectation be our guide can cause even those who are intelligent and experienced and overtrained to overlook some startlingly obvious things. He quotes a research study that found when a group of radiologists were presented a chest X-ray image to check for a pathology, a whopping 83% of them missed a picture of a gorilla that had been inserted into the image, likely because they weren't looking for it. They weren't expecting to see it. We tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to experience what we expect to experience. Perhaps some of us are thinking, but we are not prophets like Anna and Simeon. Our eyes are not prophetic, but just normal, everyday eyes. And here we remember that this is not, after all, a story primarily about Anna and Simeon, or about us trying our darndest. But at heart, as all of the gospel is, this is primarily a story about Jesus, about showing us who Jesus is. And so maybe it's really not about us trying harder or adjusting our vision, but instead, it's about learning to receive Jesus, about learning to let Jesus in, to let the Christ child be born in us. Christ will give us the eyes to see. Christ will fill us with truly expectant hearts. God with us changes everything. This sense of great expectations is not unaware that there are many tough struggles, perhaps for us personally and in our communities, painful struggles with no soon or easy resolution. But even here, and maybe especially here, let us let God surprise us. When we're left wondering if God can make any difference at all, because of Emmanuel, we might just find God to be at work in tender, quiet, loving ways, tending to our hearts in love even though everything around us seems to be so trying. God is there, giving us what we need to pull through. God cares about every detail of us, always wanting to reach us, saying, "Let me feed you with my love, a love that is more intimate than you could ever know, a love that I give to you in the coming of a child and in bread and in wine, a communion with me beyond all you could ask or imagine." As Paul's letter to the Galatians tells us, we are God's children and have God's very spirit in our hearts. I think we might be surprised at where God shows up, at where we might start expecting to see God. Ron Rollheiser, in a piece called Born into the Ordinary, writes that Christmas is about God in the ordinary. After the birth of Christ, we need not look to the extraordinary, the spectacular, the miraculous to find God. God is now found where we live, in our kitchens, at our tables, in our wounds, and in each other's faces. And so I ask, is it possible that as we look to each other, as we look to the frostbitten face of one of our neighbors without a home, knowing that she is God's beloved child and that Christ is born within her, that we might learn to see the salvation of God before our very eyes? May we never let go of the expectant character of our faith. Never underestimate the power of God to move us, the church, and the world in a better way. And as we have just proclaimed, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come," may we have eyes ready to see the wonders of God's love.